I know.
Swimsuit's looking better.
Take it off. All off. Let's see it. No fair.
Oh, you got a bathing suit on? Oh, it's a lot better. There's no fan in this room. It's on.
Just airing it out for you back there.
Thanks. Darling.
Are you sweating yet?
Yeah.
Me too.
Let's get naked.
That's why I said put on some cockamamie outfit. Like, let's have some fun here. Where's your thong?
Where's your thong?
Yeah, I need to get off.
All right. Stay focused, Trevino.
I'm focused. I'm here. Let's go, Professor Reed. You look good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Really? I'm going to wear this to work tomorrow.
Manly.
Awesome. Do you want to lead it off?
Nope. You have a great intro voice.
Hi, and welcome to our podcast, From Surfers to Sailors.
A family of five's journey to living on a sailboat. I'm Gabrielle.
And I'm Joe.
Thank you for listening to our very first episode.
Today we will introduce ourselves, describe our sailing experience, and why we are making this podcast.
We expect to release new episodes every 2 weeks.
Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss it.
For episode updates, pictures, and our blog, please visit our website at fs2spodcast.com.
That's fs2spodcast.com.
You can find us at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under fs2spodcast.
We also have a Patreon account at patreon.com/sf2. You're doing so good. We also have a Patreon account at patreon.com/fs2spodcast, where you can make a monthly contribution to support the show and receive bonus content in return. We have this dream. We want to live on a boat.
The problem is, we're not rich.
We don't have a boat.
We have 3 kids still in the house.
And we can't really sail.
Good thing we're kind of crazy and determined to not let this stop us.
We've set a goal to be on a boat within 1 year.
We know it won't be easy and we've got a lot to learn.
So we decided to make a podcast in hopes that it might find other people out there that want to do this too.
We've seen a lot of resources from knowledgeable sailors, sometimes sharing how they got into sailing or what they learned along the way.
But we haven't yet seen anyone documenting the learning process as they went through it.
So while our main goal really is to learn to sail and move on a boat, we thought trying to capture our experience as we went through it could be a cool idea and maybe helpful or even inspirational to some.
There's also the risk that we might not make it. We're the underdogs here.
We're trying to shed the conformities of society.
Break away from the man.
And follow our dreams.
There's no guarantees that we'll pull this off, and we have a lot of skin in the game.
To us, that makes documenting our journey even that much more exciting.
We're hoping you'll root for us too. We only recently realized that we share this dream. During the COVID-19 quarantine, we started talking about it and together decided that we wanted to do it enough to make it happen.
It seemed really daunting at first and especially expensive.
But the more we looked into it, we started to realize that maybe, just maybe, it was within our reach.
We started reading, looking at boats online, and listening to podcasts to try and see if it was possible.
The more we learned, the more we began to think that we too could join the ranks of the liveaboards. I am an industrial designer and a college instructor. Gabrielle is a registered nurse and currently going back to school for a more advanced degree.
Between us, we have 4 boys. Ezekiel, who is 24, Ezra, who is 13, Roy, who's 8, and EJ is 2.
We live in a little apartment in Long Beach, California, about a block from the shore.
We usually surf on the weekends or whenever we get a chance.
Hence the name of the podcast, From Surfers to Sailors, which we thought summed up our goal pretty well. Gabrielle has been a lifeguard and a competitive swimmer, and has been surfing on and off since she was 10. Most people don't know this, but she's actually a mermaid.
Joe grew up in San Diego as a beach bum. Bodybuilder.
A bodybuilder. Which way to the beach?
Show them to me.
That way.
I know bodybuilding.
I know surfing. Oh. I am Keanu, yeah.
Joe grew up in San Diego as a beach bum and bodyboarder, but strayed more toward landlubber passions of music and motorcycles. Did I just fuck that up?
Probably.
Okay. Damn, this is brutal. Do I have sweat rings around my armpits yet?
A little bit.
Can't tell. How am I supposed to get through this? You've been, like, bagging on me this whole time.
With a grin. Hey, you made me wear a frickin' one piece last night.
Joe grew up in San Diego as a beach bum.
Do I need to increase the font size more for you?
It says bodybuilder.
It says body border.
Yeah, that's actually much better. Make some muscles. Come on. Joe grew up in San Diego as a beach bum and bodyboarder, but strayed more toward landlubber passions of music and motorcycles. Fuck, it's like three sentences. It strayed toward more. It sounds better strayed.
You say it however you
toward.
Say it toward more. Say it's what's natural. Don't let the words fuck you up.
Toward more.
The words do not matter. Say it however is natural to say it.
None of this feels natural. This is incredibly uncomfortable. Joe grew up in San Diego as a beach bum and bodybuilder. Beach bum and bodybuilder.
Here, put the hat on.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. I can't get through this. I'm just going to read it. Joe grew up in San Diego as a beach bum and bodyboarder, but strayed toward more landlubber passions of music and motorcycles. Since meeting me, he has rekindled his love of the ocean. Our kids all love the water, too, and we spend a lot of time at the beach together.
Gabrielle has taken sailing classes and spent a couple seasons crewing on a race boat.
Joe, however, is a complete sailing novice, having only been on a sailboat a few times and done little more than hold a tiller.
Hold my tiller right now.
Let's go. It's rock and roll.
I have a feeling it's going to sound really bad going from our script to then doing this.
What was the last line? Okay, so we left off with how you like to grab the tiller.
We need a segue.
Did we say that this is our introduction? It's blackout. Every time I read, I have no idea what I just read.
Yeah, we say something about it being our first episode.
This is our introductory episode. Who are we?
We're the stupid couple that thinks that we can buy a boat, change careers, go to school, make a podcast, and become liveaboards with three kids.
A rotating door of three kids.
Inside a year.
In various combinations.
Yep. So how about we put away the script for a little bit and talk about ourselves?
What could go wrong?
Everything.
Okay.
So it's happened the last three times we've tried to do this.
All right. Do you want to go first?
I guess so.
So being that this is an introduction episode, let's get right into it. Briefly describe your career, Joe. Who are you? What do you like to do?
So I'm an industrial designer. I work primarily with inventors and small businesses to help bring their dreams into reality. I design physical products. I also teach at Cal State Long Beach in the design department. And
you mentioned something today about our fate being sealed. What's that all about?
Oh, no, we can't divulge that in the podcast yet.
Oh, what is that referring to?
Well, for the majority of the last 10 years, I have worked for myself. I presently work for an employer and might change that in the future. That's more than I really should say. So talk about yourself. Who are you and what are you doing now?
I'm a mermaid living on land and it's really difficult. So when I'm on top of the water, I usually do pretty good. When I get on land, it gets a little bit harder for me. I love the ocean. I'm pretty simple. I love the ocean and I'm in a caring arts/healing profession. And I think I'm pretty good at that, but it's been a little challenging the past couple of years. So I've gone back to school and that has its own challenges, but that's where I'm at right now. And I love to surf. I love to play guitar with you.
How long have you been playing guitar for?
Only just over a year.
And you're doing rad. How'd you get into surfing?
I was in junior lifeguards in the city of Long Beach, and I was in only my first year. I was 10, and we had a beach party at Huntington State Beach, and I really wanted to surf, but I had no board and no wetsuit and no idea. And one of the lifeguard instructors put me on the front of the board and told me to paddle, and he was on the back of the board. And I remember when we caught our first wave, he pulled me up and we both stood up. Like, it was the most amazing feeling. I felt like I was on a roller coaster on the water, and I was hooked. It was a couple years after that that I started intermittently surfing, but that first experience was it. I loved it. A month ago, what struck you when you were working to say we could buy a sailboat and an RV? What were you doing, or what were you not doing?
We were stuck here on quarantine, and we started talking about the idea of living on a boat. And we both said, hey, I've always wanted to do that.
Were you at work still? I think it was a phone call one day that you were at work still and you said, guess what? We could buy a sailboat and an RV.
Nope.
It was totally here?
I was sitting in front of my computer. Yeah, because we said it over breakfast, I think. And then I ran to my computer and started looking up prices.
You were pretty excited from what I remember.
I was pretty excited.
Are you still excited?
Yes. A little more knowledgeable and maybe a lot more scared. I think it was about 5 minutes after that that I said, hey, we can make a podcast of it and document this whole damn thing.
And I think I said, yeah, maybe. I was on board.
I think you shit your pants. Why don't you tell us why we're doing this podcast?
Well, when we went to the whiskey and we signed the wall, we signed it in different times, but I put dream big. So I think this is dreaming big. Why not?
Why are we doing this podcast?
Because we want to document disaster.
That's probably what's going to happen.
And maybe someone might laugh along the way.
I think they are.
Maybe not even at the same time.
Right at our expense.
But that's what you wanted.
Not necessarily. I had a feeling that's what we were going to get, though. Okay. I thought there might be other people in a similar situation thinking about living on a sailboat.
Okay.
Maybe with a family. And they might actually get something from seeing us do it.
Okay, that's legit.
But more than likely, you're right. It's probably people wanting to see us crash and burn and laugh their asses off at us.
I mean, we sound pretty good on paper, you know? I mean, we're not like, maybe not to the professional sailing community, but we're not like total degenerates.
The professional sailing community is not going to listen to this. Thank God.
Good. Dodged a bullet there.
No matter what, this ought to be a fun way to document our journey. So who do you think our audience will be?
Good question. Well, when you listen to the promo, I think there's enough humor in there that people with a sense of humor that are interested in sailing, that will see what we do. I mean, obviously we're not like professional sailors or racers. But through the two sailing books that we've read, or what I've heard you express to me from what the readings that you've done, is like, it's not like that complicated that you can't start out later in life and learn. I think sometimes I haven't explored something or gotten into something because I just think, you know, I'm too old to get into that now, you know, but I think that it's an attainable goal, and I'd love to see what we do with it. I'd like to dream big with you. And cut.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of cutting in this. So, back to the question that we can't seem to answer. Why are we doing this podcast? What are we doing?
We're documenting our journey from dreaming big to living on a sailboat to what that actually looks like. All the steps we have to take, the resources that we use, the phone calls that we make, the process of learning about how to look for a boat. Why do you want to do it, babe?
So I think we're doing something crazy. I think it's something cool that we're going to try to take our family and buy a boat and live on it. It's an adventure. And it sounds like something that other people might be interested in seeing. There's a lot of resources out there that are after the fact, where people have made this kind of lifestyle choice
have, you know, pursued it and made it a reality and then have gone back and explained what they did or give advice. But I, so far in my very limited research, haven't seen anybody documenting the steps that they took as they're doing them. And it sounded like it could be cool. And some people, you know, might get something from it, especially people that are thinking of doing something similar.
I think it's interesting too how connected kids are to technology, which is inevitable how they're growing up. But I think it's a way to bring our family together a little bit and have like collective duties and responsibilities and to know what those are and to problem solve together.
If we don't kill each other.
I think kids extremely adaptable, and who wouldn't want to wake up on the water and see sunrises and have the world as their backyard and have dinner under a beautiful sunset? I think it's an amazing opportunity, and we're just crazy enough to entertain it.
Hopefully we're crazy enough to make it happen.
You know what? When I was getting into this research paper for school, I was writing about how I like the behind the scenes aspect of anything. Personally, I like to hear the backstory behind it and to see what people go through to prepare for anything. And what particularly led me to think about that was the Olympics. And we were talking about the Olympics the other day, and you said that you didn't know that I like the Olympics so much. And I was talking about my favorite part that I like is hearing the athlete's backstory that's like interwoven into the events and everything. They'll profile an athlete, and everyone's got their own story. And a lot of people, they have a lot of obstacles that they have to overcome. And a lot of times it seems like, you know, they might not make it, and how they have to rally and who they, you know, involve and who they get to support them and everything. So looking at it from that angle, I'm interested in like, we're documenting the backstory. Our goal is to live aboard a sailboat, but this is the backstory.
So we're basically doing this podcast because who hasn't ever dreamt about living on a sailboat? And everybody loves an underdog.
I love underdogs. I always root for the underdogs.
I think we're the underdogs.
Definitely.
We're definitely the underdogs.
That's all right.
What do you think the chances are that we're going to pull this off?
Percentage-wise?
Yeah.
I think we have an 87% chance of reaching this goal.
How about doing it within a year?
I don't know.
Because, yeah, if it's not crazy enough to want to live on a sailboat, we want to live on a sailboat with three kids, ages 13, 8, and 2, and we want to do it within a year.
I think it's doable. Why not?
And have you go to school during that time and for me to make a career change in the middle of it?
Yeah, that part's buck wild. All that's buck wild. I don't know.
We're insane. Oh, yeah. We're going to make a podcast and document the whole thing as we do it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe it's good training for our goals. Like, I'm having a difficult time with time management and self-discipline right now. It was almost easier. It was easier, I'm finding, during the quarantine when you were home and there was like unspoken accountability because you were in the next room and I had all this work to do anyway. But the fact that we were working at the same time, even though like you might not have been right next to me, but I knew that you were here and it was like work time. So I think it's just a good training exercise because we're going to have to dedicate time to work on the boat and time to troubleshoot problems and time to work on the boat some more. And
And learn how to sail.
Yeah, we've got resources for that, I think.
All right. So why do we want to live on a sailboat?
Because it's on the water. Simple. I miss sunrises and sunsets, and I think it's such a wonderful experience when you can just catch one of those with your family. And I like the challenge and the adventure, and I want to know if we can do it. And I have to say, watching the Maiden documentary and being able to visit Maiden with the kids was super inspiring as well.
Yeah, in a way that might have kicked this whole thing off. I was really stoked to see how much the boys liked being on the boat, and it just blew their little minds. We couldn't get Roy out of the sea berth. EJ was just going hog wild.
When we went to the whiskey that one time you played, and I had this feeling of history when we were there, and I'd never been there before, but it was so exciting, and just to like be able to spend time in the green room and like play our guitars back there and then see you perform. And I had that same feeling when we were on Maiden. I felt like, having watched the documentary and known where that boat had been all over the world. And I mean, when I think about that and the first all-female racing team and what they accomplished, it kind of makes this like, not no problem, but people told them they were going to die and there's no way they would do it and it would never happen. And you know, they not only did they thrive, but they won one leg in their class. So why not?
So what are you most scared of with living on a boat? You mentioned dying.
I mentioned dying?
Yeah, you said that they told them that they might die. So what are you scared of?
I guess I'm just scared of not having an adequate knowledge base before we actually live on a boat. In like the small amount of research that we've done regarding buying a boat and talking about like what to look for and what to be aware of and know what you want to use your boat for and ultimately like get the right boat. That's scary to me. Like we're going to mess up and get the wrong boat. I guess I'm confused because, you know, it just talks about like everything's a trade-off, you know, do you want this or do you want that, you know, and like I don't need to have it all, but I'm a little bit scared of not prioritizing right. And then, you know, the ocean, I have a healthy fear of the ocean all the time. You know, I think that's one of the things that's so exhilarating about the ocean is that it's scary. We are very small in the presence of the ocean. And like surfing, conditions are always changing. I think in life, I'm constantly scared that I'm not going to be able to adapt and respond right. Every time that I would go to race on Jazz and I'd be driving down the final little stretch before turning to go to the slip, like my heart would be pounding and like it was scary to me. Exhilarating, yes, but like on the ocean, things are moment to moment. And I think it's just like, I'm just scared of my inexperience.
So what are you most excited about?
Not holding back. Like having said that about the fears, I think I'm excited about pursuing something that's a dream and not holding back and not waiting. It's easy to have a dream and put it off. I'm excited that as much of this that like we don't know about, we're still going for it. And I'm excited to share the experience with you.
One of the most exciting things to me about this is being able to do it with you two. I think we're just wild enough and crazy enough and smart enough to be able to figure out how to have the tenacity to do all this, but also to actually pull it off.
I remember in like the only sailing class I've taken, our lectures were quite limited before we rigged our boats and they'd set a couple buoys out there for us to practice going around. And it wasn't quite described to us like when we were going on a run or we were downwind, how it would feel a lot different. So, you know, in the first part of the leg to the first buoy, we like tack around that one and then we jived around the second one and then we were going downwind and everything just stopped. And I thought I was doing something wrong. We were going so slow that I remember thinking, where's the wind? Where did the wind go? Like, I'm going to go find some wind. end, and I just made like a couple adjustments and then went back into the dock and then asked the instructor. I was like, what's going on? Like, how come I'm not moving? And then I asked one of them if they could just get in the boat and like help us. I didn't know that that was normal for the situation with the wind at our backs, but it's just an example of like trying to figure out a problem and trying to see what to do given the changing conditions or whatever, and ultimately ask for help. I think we're smart, but I think that we're no one to ask for help too. You know, I think we need a lot of help.
Psychiatric. Is that covered in your profession?
I think it would be a conflict of interest if I try to provide you with psychiatric help.
I would think it's in your own interest to provide me with psychiatric help.
Why do you want to live on a boat?
I've always thought it would be a really cool way to live. I won't deny it. I am a romantic at heart, and I have this conceived idea in my head about how it will be, which I will go into much more in the next episode when we talk about our dreams and expectations. But I've never been one to really want to pursue an overly traditional life. I've spent the majority of my adulthood working for myself. I became a designer. So the whole idea of getting into a house and paying a mortgage and, you know, the yard and the 2.5 kids and the cars in the garage and all that stuff, just I always thought that was the only way to do it. Well, I mean, I knew you could live on a boat. Hell, my parents lived on a boat before I was born with them and my brother and sister. So I grew up hearing all about how, you know, one can live on a boat, but never really thought that that was in my future.
So what sparked entertaining the dream recently?
I don't really remember how we got onto it. We were talking about, I don't know, ways to downsize or how to live more frugally or something. I don't even know. And had this light bulb that a boat probably doesn't cost anywhere near as much as a house did. And I had no idea what boats cost at that time. I think I jumped on boattrader.com or something like that and looked up prices and went, holy crap, you can get a boat for about as much as you can get a nice car. Like a respectable, decent looking boat, like not a, you know, 13 foot dinghy, but like one that you could possibly live on. For somewhere between $15,000 and $100,000, depending on how good a shape you want it to be in and how big it is and all that. We live in Southern California, and houses are hard to find under $1 million here, which means the down payment at 20% of them is, you know, $150,000 to $200,000. That's freaking ridiculous. Who the f*** has $150,000 sitting around?
Cash.
Cash to put on a, to put as a
cold hard cash.
Yeah. So, you know, it sounds like a wonderful idea.
Word.
I mean, we'll talk more about budgets and economics of living on a boat, and we've done quite a little bit of research on that since our first talk. But it's not cheap to live on a boat, but if you're not paying rent and utilities and a whole bunch of other things, it just translates. The cost of living in a house or an apartment, you know, becomes the cost of living on a boat and paying a slip fee.
Plus you're on the ocean.
Yeah. Again, speaking from ignorance here, but there's like what seems to be a very friendly community built around sailing too. And that has some serious appeal. Looks like it's pretty hard to not make friends if you live on a boat.
Yeah. After we went surfing on Sunday, and I was like, hey, let's go down this gangway. Remember that? And you're like, no. I'm like, it'll be good. It'll be fun.
I'm shy.
And then we met someone right away, and he was happy to talk to us about his boat.
I hear all boat owners are happy to talk about their boat.
Their women. The other woman.
More expensive and higher maintenance woman. And possibly the one they love more. I'm glad I will never have that problem.
Oh.
So, yeah, I kind of think we're a little crazy to want to do this, but I think it takes us being a little crazy to actually do it. For the better part of 20 years, I've somewhere in the back of my head entertained the idea of living on a boat, but never really considered it. Never thought it was a reality or could be a reality. And if I ever did, it was going to be because I was alone and like had, you know, I don't know. Going to try to be a playboy living on a boat or something like that.
Wow.
And, well, and then I had kids. So it was like, poof, that idea is gone. Now wow. I got to buy a house, live in the suburbs, have a 2-car garage and a yard and, you know, maybe a dog or some shit like that. But I have a fantastic partner who's arguably as crazy or crazier than I am, with a wild, wonderful sense of adventure and willing to take risks and live life to the fullest and take every possibility that that affords.
Can we go in the bedroom now? That was really sweet.
I could not imagine doing this with anyone but you. In fact, I've never considered doing this until I met you. We've been living together for, what, 4 months now? And I already know, like, this is something we should do. It kind of, like, light bulbs went off when we first started talking about it. Just realizing, like, this is where fate is taking us. So tell me a little bit about your dreams to live on a boat. How long have you had the idea?
I considered moving on a boat about 10 years ago, but I wasn't looking at sailboats. I was looking at trawlers, and that was short-lived, and nothing ever came of it. When I started racing on Jazz, that was really like my first experience being in a boat 40 feet or over. But really, like, it wasn't until you were so excited one day, literally overnight, and was like, we can buy a boat. Let's do this. And I thought, all right, let's do it.
I think I was stoked because we could buy a boat and an RV for less than the down payment on a house. Like $150,000 would get you into a hell of a boat and a hell of an RV.
It's a lot of responsibility considering I don't really know about maintenance and upkeep on either. So I think we learned over the last couple of weeks that maybe we should just kind of focus on one or the other instead of both. And then we can go from there.
Well, the biggest, again, this is supposed to be in our master plan episode, but the biggest kicker to not doing the RV right now seems to be, like, it's a great idea, like, especially if it takes a long time to get a liveaboard slip. We could, you know, spend half the time on the boat and half the time in an RV, or move to RV before getting a boat to save some money faster. But there's nowhere to park it. Long Beach is not a RV living alternative lifestyle kind of town.
I'll show you where you could park it.
Didn't see that coming. Yeah, Southern California just isn't good for RV living, evidently. Like, the cops, you know, cruise around all the time, and there's a lot of people, I guess, that do this. There's people smarter than me, evidently, that have figured this out before me, that, hey, living in an RV could be really cheap. And so a lot of people evidently do it around here, but I guess they also get harassed by the cops a lot, so... Maybe with 3 kids trying to be homeless in an RV, or part-time homeless and part-time boatless, maybe it's not so much in the cards.
I think focusing on one right now, and that being the sailboat, I think that's good. And the podcast, like...
Well, I would love to have the RV, too. I think that would be rad. And I would love to be, like, you know, we could split our time between them. Hell yeah! Totally!
My mom told me when I was a kid, I used to always have a bag packed to go places, like spend the night at friends' houses or go here or go there. I love adventures. I love going places and trying to, you know, take the road less traveled and find new spots and everything. When you have kids, sometimes you got to be stable and provide that stability. And so dreams kind of like fizzle a little bit. But it's exciting to think that, you know, they can come along for the ride. And not only will it be an adventure, but it'll offer all sorts of different kinds of ways to connect and responsibility, mm-hmm. I think, in a good way.
Yeah, my brother and sister spent a lot of their early formative years on a sailboat with my parents. My whole family talks about it like it was the greatest thing ever. So all my life, they blamed me for putting an end to that wonderful lifestyle they had going on before I came along. Yeah, the weird thing was, is I brought up living on a boat to my dad, I don't know, my early 20s or something, and he talked me out of it. That's another reason why I didn't really pursue it, you know, while I was still young and single and going to school.
Playboy
and
status.
Thinking about it. Yeah, exactly. So I was thinking, you know, maybe this would be a cool thing to do. And I think he actually said the overused adage of a boat is a hole in the water which you pour money into. So he said it was better to have a friend with a boat that you could sail on instead of having a boat, which I thought was kind of hypocritical. My parents aren't exactly adventurous.
No?
No.
They owned a boat for many years. They raised kids on a boat.
I can't fathom it.
They didn't live on a boat exclusively, though, did they?
They did.
They
did.
Okay.
So while they were in New Orleans, my mom had a house, and I think my dad lived on the boat until they cohabitated. And then I know when they came out to San Diego in like 1977, they lived on the boat permanently for some period of time. And supposedly it was me coming along that made them actually have to get an apartment. And there's something about like babies and boats not mixing. I don't know about that.
Mm.
Wusses. I said they're not
pussies.
Yeah, pussies. Totally. Yeah. So you talk about doing anything that's like outside of a conformist lifestyle, and they're not really on board.
I think that's how most parents are. Is that how we are?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
We're making a podcast about living on a boat. So while it's maybe not the most financially, like, boats aren't good investments. They cost money. They don't make money. So trying to put money into real estate supposedly would make you money over time. Buying a boat is going to cost you money over time. One of the realizations that I kind of come to is that I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to afford buying a house. I've had multiple plans throughout my life to be able to save up enough and do it. And, you know, I'm back at square one 10 years later. I don't have $150,000 stashed away to be able to buy a house now like I thought I would, or be in a house many years ago like I had originally planned. So if I'm going to keep spending money on rent, which just keeps going up and up and up, it'd be way better to like get something good for it. Even if we're going to spend money on buying a boat and maintaining it, you own it. It's not an apartment. It's permanent. I mean, you have a slip, but the boat's yours. It's home. And it's way more interesting. All right. So you mentioned the racing boat, which was called Jazz, but you haven't told us about your sailing experience. So what sailing experience do you actually have?
Very little. Very, very little.
You took a sailing course.
Yeah.
What did you sail?
I sailed a 14-foot Capri.
How was it?
It was super scary. I don't know what my expectations were. I was super scared going into it. And I think they tried to present like points of sail and show us our knots and everything. But it was just like straight into the fire. I mean, the first class, they did a little presentation and then we were rigging our boats and off we went. And that's like the extent of my sailing, where it was just like myself and another person. I went straight from that into being invited on a 40-foot sailboat for Pop Top summer races. And that was super scary too.
So how long ago was that class?
2012. Spring of 2012.
And you went straight from the class into racing?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do on the racing boat?
Tried to stay out of the way at first. But, you know, they were very gracious and I asked a lot of questions, and the gal that did bow, she would show me stuff and I'd help her rig up the boat and get it ready. And I'd like run the tapes on the spinnaker and make sure that it wasn't twisted or anything and get that ready. And I just did whatever I could. And I tried to show up for stuff that didn't necessarily involve sailing. Like they asked for help to clean the boat and do basic maintenance on the boat. And I tried to show up for stuff like that too, because I wanted to learn everything I could. And also, you know, sometimes when you don't know about something, just showing the initiative, I think people appreciate that, and like helping out and trying to be, you know, a team player in whatever way that you could. So, yeah, I didn't have any sailing expertise. I didn't make huge contributions strategy wise, but I like to think I helped out and did what I could.
So how long did you do that for?
Summer of 2012. We did some winter races in 2013 and the beginning of 2014. And then I took Ezra last summer. I took him on a couple of races as well. So two seasons and then intermittently last season.
Cool. So at least you've had some experience piloting a Capri and doing some rigging and then some rudimentary time on a racing boat.
Beer maiden. Don't forget that. Very important when you're going downwind. That's the time I was talking about where things are moving a lot slower and that's time you like get a beverage, kick back.
So would you know how to trim the sails?
No, not really. I mean, I know that it's all about the shape of that sail and what that sail looks like and trying to like maximize every little bit of that surface area. And I sat next to Jeremy, who was our sail trimmer, sat next to him plenty of time. And a lot of what I did was observing too. Like I just tried to watch what people did. And it was always interesting how much communication was going on, strategy and what the sail looks like and what we should do and things like that. We had a tactician aboard and it was interesting to hear what he had to say. And it was all good stuff. You know, I think when I was starting to read that book, what's it called? Annapolis?
The Annapolis Book of Seamanship.
When I started to read that, a lot of the introductory terms and everything, it was kind of like a review. It wasn't the first time I had read about it or heard about it. Of course, there's going to be a lot of new concepts and learning how to sail, but some things will be reinforcements of what I've learned thus far, too.
You said on the race boat you did a lot of observing. Is that what you're planning to do on our boat? A lot of observing? Watching me fuck up everything?
I want to learn right along with you. And you're our captain, are you not?
Not yet.
Isn't that the role you've agreed to assume?
I think it's the role that's going to be forced upon me since our beer maiden doesn't want to step up and take charge of the vessel. And there's no way in hell we're letting the 13-year-old do it. Who, by the way, has more sailing experience than all the rest of us put together.
Yeah, I think that I tried to live a little vicariously through both the kids because they've both sailed. They've both taken Sabbat. I don't know if Ezekiel took laser, but Ezra's taken Sabbat and he loves lasers. However, he loves them because he likes capsizing. So,
yep, not allowed to do that with our boat. I thought he was going to be the helmsman. Evidently, that is not the case.
What is the extent of your sailing experience?
I'd say that my sailing experience is just about zilch. I have been on a few sailboats. I have maybe held the wheel or the tiller for a matter of minutes a couple of different times. I have done nothing with the sails, maybe turned a winch when somebody told me to once or twice. I know nothing about handling a boat, about rigging a boat, about trimming, or I know so little about sailing, I don't know what I don't know. So, yeah, that's it. We're in deep shit. My knowledge of boats is quadrupled just with reading the first couple of chapters of the books that we're looking into right now.
And what books are those?
Well, I'm going to plug them on our blog. So go to fs2spodcast.com to read more about what we're reading.
So talk to me a little about surfing. How long have you been surfing for?
I tried surfing as a teenager and failed miserably. I never quite figured out how to not slide off the front of my board. It probably didn't help that I was on way too short of a board and way too big of waves, but it took a lovely mermaid to come along my way and show me just how to do it.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get into it in the first place?
Surfing?
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in San Diego. Everybody surfs. If you don't surf, you ain't cool. So I became really not cool really fast and had to take up guitar to compensate. So tell us about your kids.
My kids. I became a mother when I was 18. I had my first son, Ezekiel, who's now 24, at home with two midwives. And that was a very raw and wild experience. Ezekiel is an amazing man. He's 24 now and he's married and he's expecting his first child, but something about him is just like he has such a big heart and he cares about so many people. And he's got a really raunchy sense of humor like I do. And he's a great surfer as well. There's lots of things that I admire about him. He's just very caring. He has a lot of generosity in him and he works really hard. And Ezra is 13 and he's a riot. He's got a strong sense of self. He's really sensitive. He's also really caring. He cares about other people and he's sensitive and kind and he has a huge heart and he's just like, he's like 5'9 or 5'10, but he still just wants to cuddle like he was 4. He's working on his surfing adventures too.
Whenever you can shag his ass out of bed.
It's awful.
Teenagers.
It's awful. I mean, I don't know if I'm getting too personal here, but like personally, my dad wasn't really involved in my life a lot. So the fact that I had 2 sons, I felt like this responsibility to kind of stop the pattern of the men not being around a lot. And so I take being a mother very seriously. And I just want to put good men out there in the world.
Tell me about Roy and EJ.
Roy is 8 and he is very creative and he loves his tablet and Legos. He has a crazy imagination. EJ is 2 and he's a tank. I've never seen a kid quite so tough and so small.
He's a powerhouse.
He's a powerhouse. One of my fondest memories of him is he wasn't even 1 year old and he was having a lightsaber battle with me and Roy. He grabbed the sword and was waving it around and knew to clash it into us and then make the noise. It was cute.
How do you think he's going to like living on a boat?
I think both boys are going to be ecstatic. Well, EJ's 2, so while he's got a lot of personality, of course, it'll, you know, have to see how that grows and evolves. But Roy is a dreamer. We took him on board the Maiden when it came to Long Beach. And they were both happier than flies on shit. Nice. EJ was, what, 1.5
mm-hmm.
about? And he wouldn't stop talking about it for like 2 weeks afterwards. I mean, he's not even supposed to have like long-term memory yet, right? Roy was really stoked on the idea too. Thank God both kids are water rats. So I think the notion of being in and around the water, they just will be happy as hogs in marina mud.
So you being the one with lots of experience with podcasts between the two of us, how did you get into podcasts?
I've been listening to podcasts for a long time. I don't even really remember how I got into it. Probably somebody mentioned something about podcasts and I checked them out and then started listening and immediately found some like history podcasts, which is a big passion of mine, and just delved into it, you know.
I don't have any experience with podcasts. Nothing.
Have you ever listened to a podcast?
No. Mm-mm.
Have you ever made a podcast?
Never. I think I heard about a podcast like in 2014, like heard the word podcast. Someone was talking about it and I just kind of thought, what's that? And that's about it. Like I literally have not listened to a podcast. I think it's really cool and really interesting and you have extensive experience with podcasts, but no, I don't have any.
I have extensive experience listening to podcasts.
Oh, that's extensive experience.
I have no experience making a podcast, as is evidenced by how wonderfully this has been going the last couple of tries.
Well, through listening to podcasts, you've mentioned that someone's first podcast as opposed to, you know, I don't know how they're done by seasons or by years or whatever, but there's noticeable improvements. So,
yeah, but none ever started this bad.
Trying to be positive here.
Not I'm trying to be funny. How would you describe our relationship?
It's loving and it's fun and it's tender and it's adventurous. And yeah, there's a lot of love. I love it.
So are you sure you want to share a tiny little boat together?
Absolutely not. No way. I am not sure at all. Just
God. God.
What's your favorite thing to do together? Outside the bed. Horn dog.
Dang. Come on, it's my question. I get to answer it how I want. I love going surfing with you, and I love to see you catch a fun ride and paddle back out with this huge smile on your face. And I love at the end of the session, usually, when you catch a wave in and get on all fours and bark like a dog. I love that our love story began at the whiskey. And I got to see you play. And we got to play guitar together. That's another thing I love doing together. What about you?
I just love how much we laugh. We laugh all the time. We have so many inside jokes, and we've laughed and forgotten about what we laughed about more times than I can count. And while the joke doesn't stick around, that feeling of sharing that moment does.
Aww.
Like, I still remember that time where it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. Our heads are still on the pillow and we can't breathe. We're laughing so freaking hard. What we were laughing about, I have no idea. But it's one of those fondest memories. I love surfing with you. I'm really grateful that you helped me get back into it. It was like, what, our second date? We went for a paddle. That was rad. Yeah. First date was a motorcycle ride, naturally. Mm-hmm. But second date, you know. Paddle around the bay, watch the sunset in her car.
Yeah, I was surprised you were game. I was exhausted, kind of. Ezekiel and I surfed Huntington that day, and I just left the surfboards on the car.
I remember.
It was timed quite nicely, because it was summertime, the end of summertime, but when we were paddling back, the sunset was just starting, and we got to, like, warm up in the car, and it was all these different colors of reds, and there's still song lyrics in there that have yet to be put to music.
Mm. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank your experience as a sailor?
Oh gosh, no front whatsoever.
No front.
Or maybe like a 2. Mm-hmm. That's being generous. What about you?
On a scale of 1 to 10, that might be 0. Like, I know, okay, I'm not a complete, like, I know port from starboard. I know bow and stern. On some level, I understand sailing. That knowledge has been just increasing like a ton with reading some books and actually having some things explained, like how sails actually work and the propulsion of them. Like, I've been on boats. I know tack and jibe, and I understand, like, you know, how that kind of stuff works. I understand how the boat's propelled through the water. But some of the more key fundamentals to sailing that I don't think you really can know unless you're actually sailing, like trimming sails, like what you're actually looking for and how you do it. You know, some of it you can be explained like it is in the book, but then some of it just needs to be experienced. Like, I can talk to you about handling a motorcycle, and I can explain to you in textbook principles about how you lean into a turn and the mechanics of the bikes and how the you know, counter steering works. But until you actually do it, like, you don't know how to turn a bike. I don't think until you actually have a line in your hand and are actually trying to trim that sail and, you know, have Mother Nature propelling you there with the wind, like, you don't really know sailing. So I don't know sailing at that kind of level.
Yeah, that reminds me of, like, when you ask me specific questions about surfing sometimes, and I'm, like, stumped because, you know, like, I have to think about it so much. And then I feel like you've made me a better surfer because I'm aware of so many more elements of my surfing, and there's things that I realize that I could improve on a lot. So I'm, like, keeping that in mind and, like, looking at how, like, what my pop-up looks like. And when you ask me a question and I have to kind of break it down the best way that I can, it kind of, I think about the mechanics of it more. So I know what you mean.
Well, they say you really don't know a subject until you can teach it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honored to hear that I've helped make you a better surfer, even with my ignorance and you know, stupidity. But yeah, I'm really excited to go on this adventure with you.
Me too.
I can't wait to see what this next year brings. And I know that making these dreams come true and having the opportunity to live with you and our family on a boat is going to be the ride of a lifetime.
Epic!
Tubular, dude.
So all in all, it's pretty apparent that we're going to need to learn how to sail.
To that end, we've already been reading some books and looking into sailing classes, which we'll tell you about in the future.
For our next episode, however, we're going to talk about our dreams and expectations for this new lifestyle we want.
And maybe just how delusional we are, too.
We are excited to record these thoughts and revisit them when we are liveaboards, hopefully in a year, to see what we were right and wrong about.
In the meantime, please visit our website at fs2spodcast.com.
Check out our blogs, pictures, and ways to support the show.
Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for FS2S Podcast.
How do we sign off?
What did you have before? Come join us aboard.
Yeah, it was welcome aboard. It was stupid.
It's sweltering in here.
Yeah, it is. Come up with the sign off, and then we can take a break for a minute, turn the fan on.
Until then, smooth sailing.
Word.
Yeah, you make one up.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Nice.
San Diego.
The whale's vagina. I think we'll get sued if we use that, though.
That's if anyone listens to us. We might be safe.
We have 8 listens already. I think only 6 of those were us.
Over and out.
Over and out.